All right, while we're standing, let's turn to John chapter number 17. It's good to see Tabitha walking, amen? Yes, amen. Mom and Dad will never get to stop again. So that is a blessing. We know she's been standing. Oh, she's going to stand through the whole thing. Amen. All right, so if you'll turn to John 17, we are in verses 20 to 26 today. And I have read this passage a number of times. I understand the fundamentals and can exegete the passage. But this is one of those, I think, that if you wanted to understand the full depth of the passage, maybe you had to be there. So if it seems like I'm shallow, then maybe it's Randy Conway, but this is a very deep passage. It is an incredible blessing as we read. In verse number 20, it says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." Lord God, we would ask that not only would you help us to understand meaning, but to understand the message of your desire for our unity with one another, and especially with you. And God, may it deepen our relationship, our walk, and our understanding of you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. And y'all may be seated. So in the beginning, from verses 1 to 5, in Jesus' high priestly prayer, if you remember, he prayed that his glory would be restored to him, that glory that he had veiled when he came to this life, that he had covered so that we might behold him as a man. And then he began praying for the disciples, those that were his apostles in that day, those that were followers of him, and he didn't want them to be left unprepared. He was working to help them to be ready because they were going to face many different trials and struggles as he left this earth. And it is important to know that God does pray for the needs that we have as we live. But lastly, verses 20 to 26 that we read today, he prays for all believers, all the believers that were going to come after them. Okay, that's us. Amen? Yeah, that's us. And he wanted every disciple to know that he is praying for us to succeed in living for him. That's the only way I could put it. I like an author by the name of John Phillips, And John Philip said about this passage, he says, the Lord's all-seeing eye ran down the centuries. He saw all those who would believe as a result of what these first Christians did and the power of the Holy Spirit. He prayed for them. He saw us. He prayed for us. And that's really what this is. And in this passage, we are going to look at four of the different ideas, four of the different reasons why Jesus prays for us. And he prays for us that we might believe. If you begin in verse 20 and 21, he asks the Father, he says, Father, help believers to live in unity. He wants us to be unified as believers. He wants us to be close to one another. And he has sought for us to be unified with one another as he is with God the Father. And he states that the reason why he wants that to happen at the end of verse number 21, that the world may believe thou hast sent me. He wants the world to know that he was sent into this world. Now, this idea of unification is a big part of this prayer. And I realize our sermon here isn't to talk about religion and denominations, but can I just say this? God did not design that there would be all these number of denominations. God didn't design that at all. That happened because of us. What God designed was one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So the failure is not in Christ, but it's in our inability to get along and to believe what God says. Right? Yeah, and that's important for us to understand, because we understand that, you know, we're not always unified like God had prayed. So, as much as you and I need God, we also need each other. And the New Testament church is here to help us stabilize our lives and to find that unity. If we're not unified, if we're not stable, we're probably not coming to church, learning in church. And I realize we can come to church and not learn, amen? And when I speak about church, I'm not talking about the organization, I'm talking about the people. That's where we're supposed to be unified. And our unity is to be with God the Son and God the Father and with one another. And here's what Jesus says in here. Our unity with each other and with the Godhead is a witness and a testimony to the rest of this world. And it shows that others who are not believers should be believers. So what is our work? Or I guess our work is this, to show the world God the Father. Amen? That's what we're supposed to be doing. So Jesus has prayed that we would be unified. And then verse 22 and verse 23, he prays that we will be perfect. Now, the word that's used for perfect in the Bible is not the word where we think absolutely free from error. It's the word that means to be complete and to come to the desired end. So notice what he says here. Verse 22, he says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. So let's deal with that little section first. Jesus prays that his glory will become our glory. Now, we are never going to have the glory of the Godhead. Okay? We are never going to become gods. That doesn't happen. Okay? So what is he speaking about? Well, he's speaking about the glory of the work that he had done here on earth. the caring about people, the investing in people's lives, seeing people's lives change. What he's saying is, I'm handing the torch over to you. And we are supposed to pick up that torch and carry it and use that to reveal to this world Christ. Now that is what brings about that perfection. Now notice verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. So as we pick up his work, we become unified with him, which makes us unified with the Father, and that brings us to the completion of the work that he wants us to do. And it's not something that we can do without him. We need his power. We need his help. We need the Spirit with us. And I want to stop for just a second, because we can get, okay, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, and we can start thinking of this as three different people. Correct? Not. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, one being. One being that manifests himself in different ways. For instance, let's take Jack. Jack is a husband. Jack is a friend to many people. Jack is our song leader. Now, is that three different Jacks or one Jack? One Jack. Amen? Sounds like Jack with schizophrenia. No, not at all. He does all three. And I want you to understand that when we speak about God and the different ways that he manifests himself, it's not three different people. As a matter of fact, John in his epistle took some time and wrote about this in 1 John 5, verse 7. He says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, if the Trinity of God kind of makes your head hurt, you're not the first, you will not be the last. There are so many books written on this thought, and there is nobody that hasn't pondered the miracle of how it can be God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, all three in one. So you're not the first, you won't be the last. Amen? There are classes on this, and people walk away from those classes with headaches. Okay? And it is difficult. But what we understand is that this is a unified God, and he wants us to see that. That's why he keeps speaking about them being one. And we know that he wants us to be one with him. That's why in verse 23, he says, that they may be one. We are unified to God the Father through God the Son. We are unified as a church. We are, as a church, unified with God. I know it sounds repetitious, and he does repeat it, but what he's trying to help us to understand is how important this concept is, and that we be unified so that we can be unified to God. Now, when that happens, there is a change. And it is amazing what God is doing, and he's praying that you and I would have this unity and to be a good testimony to this world. And that is important for us to understand. The world will look at you and I, who are a group of people that Do you realize how uncommon we are in backgrounds here? You know, we have Josie, who's from the Philippines. We have Anne, who's from Scotland. And we have John, who's from Illinois. Right? No, there's totally different backgrounds, aren't they? And yet we're unified. And that unification is because of the love of Christ in us, and that love that is in us then is reflected back towards this world that is in need of the Lord, and people can look and say, how can such a diversified group love one another? And the answer is because of Jesus Christ. And we are to shine out. Notice verse number 23, he says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me. So as we are unified with one another, as we are unified with God the Father and God the Son, the world gets to know Christ. There's a guy that has taken up, his name's Ray Vanderland, has some really good videos about Jerusalem, about Israel, and about Christ, and the name of his ministry is That the World May Know. And he is trying to bring that to the world. That's what we're trying to do, isn't it? Yeah. That word know, the way that he is using it, means somebody who is sure in their knowledge of a truth. Through us, the world can be sure of their knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be a testimony. God manifested himself to you so that you could know him, so that you can show the world Jesus Christ as Savior. And that God would choose to be one with us. Wow, what a blessing. The God of heaven, the creator of all things, the ruler of all things, knows you and me. I think that's amazing. And the purpose of knowing you is so that God can use your life. As a matter of fact, in Acts 26, verse 18, it says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. God purposed and reached into our lives so that we wouldn't walk in the darkness of this world anymore, but walk in life and to walk in light. And he is trying to change you from that power of darkness to the power of light. He does this through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we ask Jesus Christ to save us from our sins, we no longer walk under that power, but we walk under his power. Same thing we're talking about in Sunday school, isn't it? Yeah. What an amazing grace that God would change us. And the fact that he can perfect us, in other words, bring us to that end where we're no longer that old person and we are this new person, what a testimony to this world. What a blessing. Now, the next thing that Jesus prays about is verse 24. He prays that his believers will be with him in glory. Christ prays that you and I will be where he is. And he's been speaking about that since chapter number 14. If you turn back just a couple of pages, you'll see how he began. And he was speaking to his disciples, and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." He has been working and planning so that he could bring us unto himself. Notice how he begins verse number 24. "Father, I will." What he's saying is, God the Father, my greatest desire, one of my great desires, is that my children will be with you and with me in heaven. That's why we say to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We also say, and when Jesus comes to return and pull us home, he says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. There are so many promises about our eternity to be with Christ, and all it takes is believing in him. Is that not amazing? How many of y'all, before you were saved or when you were younger, tried to do things so that you could earn heaven? I tried to. I was not going to lie. I remember it. And not only was I not going to lie, I was going to not lie, and then I would be sinless and I could walk on water. I wanted to walk on water. I don't know why. Just one of those desires that we have. But there's no way that Randy could fix Randy. I had to have Christ. And when we get to heaven, he says in verse number 24, he says, "To be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me." Now, in heaven, we will see the glory of Christ. If you are like me, you wonder, and you say to yourself, well, do I want to see God's glory? And is that important? Good question, isn't it? For some of us, we think this way. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever gone on vacation to go sightseeing? To go see the ocean? To go see the mountains? To go see the desert? You know, there are people that go to Death Valley because they want to see Death Valley. They want to see the desert. Or maybe you've gone to the east in the fall so that you could see the colors in the trees. There's a lot of reasons why people go on vacations. And a lot of times it's to go see stuff that God created. Well, God calls the creation of this earth his handiwork. That's all it is. It's his handiwork. It's nothing more than some stuff he built. Wouldn't you want to see the one that created it? There's a difference, isn't there? You know, we want to see the real thing. We want to see God in his glory. And we will see, according to John, we will see him as he is. And we will see his greatness and his blessedness, and we'll see his glory. And we will know the blessing of being in true perfection. We all try to make something that's perfect in our life at one time or another, amen? How about to see perfection itself? Now, I want you to know that that glory of God is not something that should affect you only in the future. It's something that ought to be affecting our lives today. As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says this, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." When you got saved, God glorified your life because he came into you, but he's still changing you from glory to glory to make you more glorious like him. And we ought to be changed every day. We ought to be growing every day, transformed from that old man to the new man, to become less and less what we were and more like Christ. So now we get to the last part that Jesus prays for us who are believers. So he prays for our unity. He prays that we will become those that glorify him. He prays that we will be with him in heaven. And the last part is this. He prays that you and I in this life, on this earth, will experience his love. You know, out of all the names of God, one of the greatest is the one that he has been declaring to us in this passage, Father. He calls God Father. And in the Bible, when you read that word Father, Abba, it speaks of the one who leads the home. The father is the one that is supposed to teach the family love. The father is the one that is supposed to teach the children about God the Father. And he's supposed to do it both in word and in deed. He's the one that forms the character of the children. It's up to the father to lead the house, isn't it? Yeah. And for a child to call their male parent father, what a blessing. That means that he's done the job. So Jesus has been manifesting God the Father to his children so that they would know God the Father. And through him, we do know him, don't we? That's part of the purpose of his life, his death, his resurrection, to manifest God to us so that we could know him, to get a glimpse of him. So through Jesus Christ, you and I get to know God the Father. The God that's in heaven that is invisible to us. But now we see him through the pages of Scripture, through the Holy Spirit that can work in our lives. And through Jesus Christ, we know him. That God the Father would send his Son so that you could know him. That's what he did. That's why he sent Jesus. And it is important for us to understand that was the purpose. You say, well, why can't I just see God on my own? Three-letter word. Sin. It separates us from God. He is perfect. He is holy. He is righteous. And our sin makes us unfit to step into the presence of perfection. It's honest, isn't it? Well, we all know that, don't we? And what Jesus does is bridges the gap between us who are sinful with him who is sinless. And because of the cross, what Jesus does is he fixes our sin problem. And he made it available to anyone that wants to be fixed. And the way that we're fixed is to ask. To me, that is incredible. The kid that wanted to try not to lie so he could walk on water. But yet I couldn't do that. But at a stoplight in Arlington, Texas, I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And from that moment, I've been different. He changed me. I didn't change me. He changed me. And if you can get changed at a stoplight, it has to be by God. Amen? Yeah. But he no longer looks at the sinful Randy Conway. He looks at the one that came to him through Jesus Christ, who paid for my sins, who paid for your sins on the cross. And the only thing that he asks is that we humble ourselves before him and ask him to be our Savior. That's the love of God. Because God didn't sin, we did. And love is this: reaching to one who has broken your commandments and retrieving them, saving them anyway. Isn't that amazing? That God would do that. To retrieve us who are broken. And Jesus prays here in verses 25, verse number 26, that you and I would know this love. He says, this love is so special, it's the same type of love that God the Father has shown to God the Son. God wants to love you and me in the same way that he loves his own Son. And that's absolutely makes sense when you begin to study that through Jesus and our salvation, we are adopted into the family of God. We're not stepchildren. We're real children. And that's the love that he wants us to know. So Jesus is praying for everything that we need so that we can survive, so that we can exist, so that we can thrive as believers on this earth. And he prays that God will be here with us to help us, that we'll have one another to help us. Amen? Yeah. But he's also praying that you and I will become vessels of that love. You go home and you get a glass out of the cabinet. You turn on the faucet and you put water in it. It's a drinking cup. Are you going to pour out that water? Yes, you're going to pour it into your mouth, correct? You don't fill up a cup just to leave it there forever and let it mildew. You fill it up so you can drink of it, to pour it out. God's filled you with his love so that you can pour it out to this world, so that you can show others what he's doing in you. So one of the greatest prayers that's ever been prayed in this world was prayed by Jesus, and he lets us see it. I'm very thankful for that. I don't know about you. If maybe you struggle in prayer. What a great way to learn prayer. Study Jesus and how he prayed. It really does help, doesn't it? As we see our world and we see the gathering darkness all around us, Jesus prays that you and I would become light, to manifest him to this world. Are you hiding the light or are you showing it out? We ought to be showing it. And God gives Table Mountain Baptist Church this opportunity to be a light in this area in our city, in our area, and through missionaries around the world. Amen? So let me ask you. We're going to have a time of invitation here in a minute. How are you doing in your unity with God. Because I know he's reaching into each of our lives. But are you allowing him to have your heart? How are you doing it, taking the love that's been poured into you and pouring it into the rest of this world? Because it's really easy to keep the cup for ourselves, isn't it? We need to be pouring it out, pouring it into others. And I see people doing that, and it's so fun to watch when you see one person pouring their life into another person. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. And I see it all around our church. I see it happen. And it just, it gets you excited. And it should. But we ought to all be pouring, amen? And then if you're here today and you're saying, this all makes sense, but I'm missing one thing. And that one thing is me and God. That relationship hasn't been established yet. I haven't asked Christ to be my Savior. And I need to do that. Because I want what he's praying for. I want that unity with him. I want to have testimony for him. I want to know his glory. I want to be in heaven someday. I want to see the real thing. And I want to know that love. For so many people in this world, they're missing love because they don't have a Savior. And here's the answer. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You just got to ask. Isn't that a blessing and a kindness? Father, this morning, as we have spent time in your word, as you're speaking to people, will you please finish what you're doing right now? There are people that need to spend some time on an altar thanking you for your goodness. There are people that know you as Savior, but they have not been living in unity with you, and they need to know that unity. They want to restore that fellowship. And there could be somebody here today, God, that does not know you personally as Savior. They've never asked. They've never sought you for the salvation of their soul. And right now, maybe you are working on a heart or hearts to do that. May this be that time that they turn to you. God, I pray that you'll open all of our hearts to do that which you are calling us to do this morning. And I pray this, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.